Bits, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. The polls are now closed in Mississippi. CBS News projects Joe Biden winning Georgia's Democratic presidential primary and becoming the Democratic presumptive nominee. CBS News Director of Elections and Surveys, Anthony Salvanto.
The fact that he's done it by winning Georgia really tees up what's going to be another battleground, right? Here we are again. Georgia's going to be close. In this case, Biden won it narrowly last time. Now we've got Trump up by three.
CBS News projects that Donald Trump has won the Republican presidential primary in Georgia and is on track to secure his party's nomination at this summer's convention. CBS's Torian Small reports.
Immigration was a big thing for Republicans who went to the polls. And really the state of the democracy, I think, for many Democrats coming out.
Votes are still being collected across Washington state and Hawaii. Former special counsel Robert Hur defends before the House Judiciary Committee his investigation into President Biden's handling of classified documents. CBS's Ed O'Keefe heard from Republican Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz.
Former special counsel Robert Hur's public grilling at times looked more like a proxy fight for the White House. Republicans raised questions about President Biden's mental fitness.
What I'm trying to figure out is whether or not Biden's lying because he's still so senile.
While Democrats aired unflattering footage of former President Donald Trump.
An anomalous.
Hur defended his report and its contention that the president was a well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory.
As gangs control most of Port-au-Prince, the Biden administration says members of a transitional council in Haiti should be appointed in days amid security questions after that nation's prime minister says he will step down. White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan.
What we are driving toward is a transitional council that can pave the way to elections and the restoration of calm on the streets of Haiti.
A new bill introduced in the California legislature is trying to stop the state's public schools from serving foods containing certain additives. CBS's Wendy Gillette reports.
This bill targets six synthetic food dyes.
California Democratic Assemblyman Jesse Gabriel says the chemicals are linked to health issues in children, including cancer and hyperactivity.
I find it unacceptable that we are allowing our schools to serve food with additives that are causing harm to our children.
Celebrity chef Tom Colicchio also backs the bill. He has been diagnosed with ADHD, as have his three children.
I would love to see a national ban.
The legislation is the first of its kind in the country. Wendy Gillette, CBS News.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
4 Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The recall attempt against Wisconsin's most powerful Republican lawmaker has come up short. Organizers of a push to oust Assembly Speaker Robin Voss turned in 14,000 signatures Monday, but the Wisconsin Elections Commission Tuesday determined not enough of them come from the district Voss was elected in. Commissioners are asking the state Supreme Court for clarity. Tick season is beginning early this year. The state health department and experts from the University of Wisconsin in Madison began looking for ticks last month. They say that about half of the adult deer ticks they found carried the bacteria that causes Lyme disease. Ticks can become active as soon as temperatures are above 40 degrees and the snow has melted. Experts say that it's too early to say if this year's tick season will be longer than usual or if more ticks will be carriers of Lyme disease compared to other years. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
NFL free agency continues. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. More background on how the Packers running back Aaron Jones ended up signing with the Minnesota Vikings. According to ESPN, the Packers asked Jones and his agent Drew Rosenhaus to take a pay cut down to $6 million a year. When Jones turned down that offer last Friday, the team informed him over the weekend they would be moving on to find his replacement. The best offer Jones then received was $7 million a year from the Vikings. The Packers have re-signed defensive back and kick returner Keyshawn Nixon to a new deal, 3 years worth $18 million. They are also bringing back defensive back Corey Ballantyne and tight end Tyler Davis. A year ago, the Packers released defensive lineman Dean Lowry. He signed a two-year deal with Minnesota worth $8.5 million. However, the Vikings released him today. Safety Jonathan Owens has decided to sign with the Chicago Bears. Baseball, the Brewers and Cubs under the lights tonight in Mesa, Arizona. The Bucks are in Sacramento against the Kings. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the low 30s. Mostly cloudy for tomorrow, highs still warm in the mid-60s. Cloudy, breezy with showers Thursday, highs upper 40s. A mixture of sunshine and clouds looking into Friday, highs right around 50 degrees. It's 60 right now.
Tune in Wednesday for a special Devil's Advocates radio show. Dom in studio with me, Joe, Vegas Joe Sapecki, and Joe Biden in Milwaukee. Tune in 4 to 6 p.m. Devils.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right. And now, a guy who gives edible undies as gifts just because they taste good, Pete Schwabba.
And now, welcome back. Hour number two of Nightlight kicking off. Great to have you with me on this Tuesday night, where we are talking about the Oscars and Girl Scout cookies and all kinds of stuff. The entire Krieger family's distaste for coconut. Boy, as gorgeous as it was out today, it's still weird to hear the Brewers playing the Cubs. I can't get used to that. It's just not, it seems way too early. Hey, Rob Thomas is here. Rob, thanks for sticking around a little bit longer.
Thanks, Pete.
Yeah, my pleasure. I think, you know, in the spirit of Barbie happening, because it was something from our childhood with the doll, we got to think of a great idea for Girl Scout cookies. I'm sure there's a movie there. I don't know what we do, but I think we're just the guys to do it.
You know, they're probably taking pitches right now, right?
Like, probably.
Yeah.
I'm sure they are.
Sort of like a strawberry shortcake thing where each cookie is its own character.
Right.
And the Tagalogs are mad nobody buys them. So they, there's something there.
Yeah. It's the trefoils.
Yeah.
Ryan Gosling will play the, this is interesting. They've changed a lot of the names. And I was just looking at this over the break and people are upset. And there's, I found this comment who wrote into a newspaper. She says, I'm outraged. Yes, outraged that Girl Scout cookies have new names. Samoas are now Caramel Delights. Do-si-dos are peanut butter sandwiches. Tagalongs are peanut butter cookies. And I think I'm saying this right. Trefoils are the shortbreads. So people need to be upset.
Yeah, that's definitely right now, that's the thing I'm most concerned about.
Right?
I mean, I will say I like the cute names better than just like the descriptive names. Sure. I will agree with that, but like I think I can find a way to get over that.
Yeah. I could not agree more. And this is, we got a text here from the 818. Bridget says she likes, and this is what got me started, trefoils. And I hadn't heard that in a long time, but Bridget is I guess pulling that from her past or something, because I don't think they've been called that for a long time. But trefoils is the other one. So,
and which ones are those?
Those are shortbread. I think just the shortbread, nothing fancy.
Oh, okay. They're kind of the Girl Scout logo. Is that right? Am I thinking that right?
Oh, maybe.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah.
Yeah. But I can, you know, I can go old school. That's good.
Yeah.
So back to the Oscars briefly, Rob, is there anything you would change? Like if you were in charge of what movies won, what do you think should have gotten more love, or would you not change anything?
Well, the one thing, I don't know about a movie. I mean, I think I was pretty happy with that list. You know, the one thing, and this was kind of alluded to, so I read that in a couple years, there's going to be a new category for best casting, which is
I heard that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Which I don't, Yeah, I don't know how you would judge that. Like, but
right. Anyway.
But the one I thought of or people talked about is there should be a best stunt category for sure.
Yeah.
Like there, and there was even kind of the one montage that last night was a stunt category. And I would love to see, you know, especially with John Wick and Mission Impossible and all those. And like, there should be a best stunt or best stunt man category or something like that. If you're going to have, best sound mixing, you should have best stunts. I'm sorry.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
Although I think Tom Cruise would probably win best stunt, and that would tick people off too. So,
well, yeah, yeah. But you know, John Wick could give him a run for his money, I think. Yeah,
absolutely. I'm with you too. I like the casting, but I don't know how they would do it. But like maybe ensemble. I always thought it would be a fun category: best bit part or very small role that's memorable. Honestly, because I'm thinking. Purely, what gave me the idea for this was like in the late 90s, the movie The Insider came out and Bruce McGill played an attorney in a Southern courtroom going after big tobacco. And he was on screen for like 2 minutes and I don't think we saw him again. He was so good.
Yeah, I remember that scene. He's screaming at the guy. Wipe that smile off.
Phenomenal. Yeah. And it's like he was probably the best actor in that whole film.
Yeah.
And he had very limited screen time. So
maybe it could be the best supporting actor category.
The best barely on screen.
That's right. 2 minutes or less. Yeah.
Right.
Express lane acting. Yeah.
That's hilarious. What did you think of Ariana Grande's outfit? Did you see that?
I didn't really pay attention, honestly. Yeah. I think I zoned out. I think she was there with. I can't remember who the other person was, but yeah, I kind of zoned out on her. Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't, that's something I normally wouldn't really pay attention to, but it so just leapt out at you. She looked like a piece of bubble yum.
Oh, really?
Oh my gosh. She had these big sleeves. It looked like she like parasailed into the Oscars. It was crazy, but, I'll leave the fashion talk there since you don't know what
I'm trying to think
about.
If anybody was, you know, there was no Bjork Swan outfit that I saw, you know, nothing that distinctive. Yeah.
I will say the new fashion for men, I never liked the guys with the skinny pant suits with the flood pants and then the big elk shoes. I never understood that. But at the Oscars, guys were wearing this look like, they look like mom jeans with bell bottoms on the men. And I'm like, what on earth?
I
noticed that. It was terrible.
Well, I think, and definitely we're the two guys to be talking about fashion. No question about that. But I think big pants are in now. Like I think that's the latest thing is like big pants. So maybe that's the mom jeans is part of that.
I guess.
But yeah. I mean,
maybe we need a song like tight pants. I got my big pants on.
That's right.
Big, yeah, you're right. We're like the jeans and button down jeans guy. We're the ones that should be discussing.
Critiquing. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Just to go back to Dune 2 for a second, you mentioned that it kind of wrapped up and he kind of became the bad guy. Did we talk about this already? How some of these actors, like Javier Bardem and Austin Butler, I didn't even know that was him. And he was such a good, creepy bad guy, you know, and he was on hardly at all.
Yeah, I mean, and that cast was huge. Like they got which is probably very smart, was they got every like hot actor under 30, like,
right.
Zendaya, Timothy Chalamet, obviously, but then Florence Pugh was in it, and she's the Emperor's daughter, and Anna Taylor-Joy from the Furiosa, she was like in it for like a minute as like the... I'm like the unborn child, unborn sister of Timothy Chalamet, I think was her role. And
right. We did talk about this, didn't we?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, they just like, I mean, I guess that's how you do it. You just get everybody you can to your movie. Oh, and yeah.
If they'll do it, why not? Yeah. Hey, so I want to ask you one more thing, Rob. You had an article, as usual, great work in the Capital Times, but about a documentary, I think it was called Bad River. Can you tell
us about that? Yeah, that's really opening cool. Friday, I think, in a bunch of theaters around Wisconsin. I know it's in Madison at AMC. It's a documentary about the Bad River Band and their fight against the Enbridge pipeline, which I think people have read. I know I'd read headlines about it and seen it, but I don't think I really understood it until I watched the documentary. And then the other thing is, it's a very lively documentary. It's not sober at all. It has a really, it's very fast moving. It has a lot of, you know, the soundtrack has some hip hop on it from indigenous artists. Mm-hmm. And then it has these two narrators. One is Edward Norton, great actor. And he like gives sort of the official recount of what happened and goes into Native American history and how they've been exploited by the government. And then this actress whose name I forget, but she was on Reservation Dogs. She gives kind of like the tribe's viewpoint. And it's sort of like a conversation, almost like an argument where two different sides of the same story. So it's, and it's like a fairly short, like an under 90 minute documentary. There's a lot of information packed in.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And I thought you interviewed the director and it's really good. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, it's one of those things you read about, and I'm like, oh, I have to see this. Now I just have to remember to watch it. I'm sure it won't play where I live, but I'll keep an eye out for it on streaming.
I think it's playing in more it's playing in like AMC theaters, and I think a bunch of them. So at least around Wisconsin. So Friday, check your Fandango or whatever and see if it's near you. Yeah,
for sure. Hey, Wisconsin Film Festival coming up. You looking forward to that?
Yeah, they released the schedule last week. A lot of new movies. Speaking of holdovers, Alexander Payne, the writer director, is coming to do a 20th anniversary screening of Sideways, one of my favorite movies. And then I think he's showing Holdovers the next night. And then the thing I'm really excited about is there was this movie in the 50s called The Tingler, like a horror movie. And it was filmed in what they called, Percepto, where they make the seats. They made the seats tingle like buzz. So they're installing the seats in the theater for the film festival with these buzzers. So that it's, isn't that a great idea? Yeah.
That it's is like
better than 3D. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that should be a lot of fun. Yeah.
I saw also, speaking of Alexander Payne, they're making a sequel to Election. Have you seen that?
I know there's a book. I didn't know they were making a movie out of it.
Yeah. And it's something Tracy Flick.
Can't win, I think. Tracy Flick can't win. Yeah.
Yes, that's right. And I'm so excited to see what they do with her character. And I'm really hoping Matthew Broderick does the film too. That's one of my all time favorite comedies.
Is Reese Witherspoon doing it? Is that
she is, yeah. She's
That's cool. Yeah. I definitely want to see that. That is a great, great movie. Yeah.
We'll have to go see that together, buddy. We gotta pal around more.
Definitely.
All right. Thanks so much for your time tonight, Rob. Always fun catching up. And keep up the great work at the Capital Times.
Thanks, Pete. It was great talking to you.
All right. You too, buddy. That's Rob Thomas. Always fun. It's funny we'll talk with Anya Esther. She's coming up too. I want to get her thoughts about the Oscars. Maybe Anya will indulge me a little bit more with the fashion than Rob did, but I'm not really a fashion guy. I'm kind of jeans and t-shirts, but oh my gosh, some of those clothes. And I never feel more like a Midwesterner than I do when I watch the Oscars. And I'm just like, what? Like, the only place people would wear clothes like that is to an award show where there's, you know, no chance they'll get beat up. It's crazy. Conrad, do you own anything outlandish like that?
I just think we just need to follow John Cena's attire.
There is now a dress code. All right. Very good. All right. So coming up, we are going to talk about my guest tonight, who had to cancel at the last minute, Roger Rittenhouse. Very funny guy. We'll push him to next Tuesday. Really funny stuff from Roger coming up next on a stand-up special he did years ago that I think you guys will enjoy. And then Anya Esther at the bottom of the hour. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, home for the Devil's Advocates.
Hey, what are you doing up on the step stool?
About to clean these light fixtures. The whole family's coming over, and if there's even a speck of dust in the house, my abuela will find it.
Here, I got a Swiffer duster to help with that.
A Swiffer what?
A Swiffer duster. It has this cool extendable handle that reaches 6 feet to get high and low, with fluffy dusters that easily trap and lock dust.
So, no more step stool?
No more step stool.
Easily trap and lock dust from hard-to-reach places with the Swiffer Duster. Love it or your money back.
To everyone who needs a little delight in their day, let our team member Paul tell you about one of our favorite sweet treats.
Making special moments at mealtime is a tradition in Wisconsin. And what better way to sweeten your day than a Culver's creamy, fresh frozen custard and your favorite mix-ins? We handcraft every concrete mixer exactly the way you like. From caramel to your favorite candies like Butterfinger.
Come to Culver's and let us make your day a little bit sweeter.
From Wisconsin with love.
Welcome to Delicious.
Culver's, 8th Street South, Wisconsin Rapids.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Talking about movies and TV. You know, the one thing this show has done for me is I already watched a lot of movies. My background is movies, writing them primarily, but it's made me watch more. This is the first year, I think, that I watched that many movies right before the Oscars, just so I could talk about them. Like, I always watched them in the past, but I kind of did it at my leisure. But it was fun to have a deadline this year because I knew we'd be talking about it on the show and I'd have awesome entertainment reporters, critics on to discuss. And in a few minutes, we'll be joined by another writer, and we will get her take on what she thought about the Oscars. And Conrad, what do we have any more Ben Chan news?
I don't believe so.
Pull up something here. We got to figure this out because I want to know. Maybe Christy could call in. We need an update. 12 minutes ago, it says he had a comeback victory. Apparently, this is from the WBAY News website. It said he had a come from behind victory, and I'm trying to figure out like what. By $1, Ben Chan draws first blood in Jeopardy Tournament of Champions.
Wow.
I don't know what that is. That sounds like he crushed. Game one of the Jeopardy Tournament of Champions. This is from the Green Bay Press Gazette. Proved a thrilling come from behind victory for the St. Norbert College philosophy professor from Green Bay, who has spoiled viewers with his no-sweat runaway wins. This time around, it was a little more roller coastery to get there, but still arms up high at the end, because he does his raise-the-roof dance, I guess. Chan had a narrow lead of just $200 on Troy Meyer, a music executive from Tampa, Florida, after the first round. By the end of Double Jeopardy, he trailed both Meyer and Yogesh Raut, I hope I'm saying that right, the psychologist from Vancouver, Washington. It was Chan with 10,000, Raut with 15,600, and Meyer with 22,000. But thanks to a correct answer in Final Jeopardy and some savvy wagering, he finished with 15,601, beating his opponent by $1. How can we watch this? You think it'll be on YouTube?
Yeah, I hope there's like a replay of otherwise I think there's the Game Show Network. Maybe he'll be on there as a replay.
Maybe. I don't really know much about the Game Show Network. I didn't know they did that. Game two, it says, is Wednesday. So I cut the cord years ago. I might have to actually get cable just so I can watch Ben. That sounds like a really cool thing. So good luck to Ben tomorrow night, and congrats on what he accomplished tonight. That's really exciting. So let's pivot here. My guest tonight at 8:35 was supposed to be Roger Rittenhouse. He had a family situation. Everybody's okay, but he had to bow out at the last minute. But Roger is one of my favorite stand-up comedians of all time, and I worked with him on a show called Sports Soup. We were both staff writers and watched sports and wrote jokes with three or four other people. It's a lot of fun. And Roger will be here next week. Anya Esther is coming in out of the bullpen in just a few minutes. But I wanted to play a little teaser of Roger's stand-up. So hopefully you guys will come back and listen to Roger next Tuesday as well. But go ahead and play that, Conrad.
Well, my friends are having kids too, which is kind of depressing. My friend just had a 13-pound baby, which is just wrong. Man, you look in the crib, there's a man. Then you gotta pretend like it's cute, you know? It's boy.
That's something you got there. Hey, can I have his old shoes? Hey, you want to hold him? Yeah, spot me. That's what I want to... How do you tell someone they have an ugly baby? That's hard. And so that's what happens when you feed sea monkeys hamburger. Well... Oh, man. Oh, I love children, though. I really do. No, that's just the beer talking. But, well. Boy, last night, I met a cute little number last night, which, if you number them, I have to, because I'm a serial killer. But, of course, I just enjoy the travel. And it's great to be back in Canada. Boy, I, oh. I do love Canada. I have a friend up here, one of those hockey, macho hockey fans, you know, just goes for the fight. Am I right? You just go for the hockey fan. That's the kind of person that watches a presidential speech just in case there's a sniper. Big baseball fan, too, which, you know, I try to watch it, but I have a pulse. Man, if baseball were any slower, it'd be farming. That's...
That's Roger Rittenhouse. He'll be here next Tuesday. Conrad, we got a couple minutes. Play the rest of that. Play a little more Roger for us.
Boy, I mean, at Pizza Hut the other day, which and the people next to me are eating that Meat Lover's pizza, which, man, that's five meats, extra cheese, and bacon. I'm no heart specialist, but that should come with a rib spreader. Take it. Now they got the Bigfoot pizza. How fat are you, ladies and gentlemen? You're eating that. You're experimenting with your body, aren't you? Hey, I got a pretty good-sized gut, but let's see what this baby can do. Hey, I think a butt in the front would look hot and sassy. Hey, maybe some little butts on the knees. I'm not kidding. Oh, it's not like I want to live forever, though. I don't. Boy, you want my grandmother, by the way, who's a beautiful woman, just turned 100 years old, which, boy, you want to live to be 100? No, of course you don't. It looks good on paper. Man, when I saw her, she was eating a puzzle. I mean, that's not... Maybe that was the wrong gift, but, you know, at 100... Big party, too, if it's a party, you want to call it a party. Like 100 candles on the birthday cake, which, just take her word for it. I mean, to put that out, she'd have to fall on it. That's really... Come on. If I'm ever 100, you use a candle for every year you think I have left. Now, that way. Thank you. Won't have to wear the welding hood, and that's the important thing. Then they got those products when you're old. Have you seen that recliner that has that cushion that pushes you to your feet? You can't get out of a chair. Well, maybe you don't need to get up. Hey, what's next? Hey, it's a bed with a lid on it.
That is Roger Rittenhouse. We had to move him to next week, but join us next week on Tuesday. He's a very funny guy and a great interview. He writes for comedians like Larry the Cable Guy, D.L. Hewley, just a phenomenal joke writer, as you just heard there. So we have Anya Esther coming up in a few minutes. It is James Taylor's birthday today. James Taylor wrote one of my favorite songs ever called Fire and Rain. Conrad, let's go out with some Fire and Rain if we can do that, I think, before we hit the break. And when we come back, we'll have more Oscar talk with Civic Media's own Anya Esther. And we'll read some more of your text, too. This is Pete Schwabe in Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I walked out this morning and I wrote down this song. I just can't remember who to send it to. I've seen fire and I've seen rain. I've seen sunny days that I thought would never end. Seen lonely times when I could not find a friend, but I always thought that I'd see you.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
CBS News Special Report. CBS News projects Donald Trump winning the Republican presidential primary in Mississippi and Joe Biden winning the Mississippi Democratic primary. CBS has also projected Biden winning the Georgia Democratic primary and with that, enough delegates to win his party's nomination at the Democratic National Convention in August. Political analyst Larry Sabato with the University of Virginia.
He did demonstrate energy and he was very emphatic, and he challenged the Republicans in lots of ways that were effective. Democrats are reassured.
CBS News Director of Elections and Surveys, Anthony Salvanto.
Georgia has become a little microcosm of the country, and this everybody should watch as we go forward. More people say they think Trump's policies will lead to that.